بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the one who bestows mercy. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In the previous lesson, we went through the tafsir of Surah Naba or Surah Amma, which is the first surah or the first chapter of the 30th juz. And in this lesson, bi'aunillahi ta'ala, we will go through the second surah of the 30th juz, which is known as Suratul Nazi'at. And this is Suratul Makkiyah, i.e. it was revealed before the Hijrah, before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made Hijrah, and it contains 46 ayat. As for the general themes of this surah, first Allah subhanahu begins by mentioning the angels and the different types of angels and the greatness of the angels. And Allah subhanahu mentioning how great the angels are and their different types is a proof of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if creation is so great, then the creator who formed and fashioned this creation, i.e. the angels, is even greater. And also from the themes of this surah is Yawm al-Qiyamah. And this is the case throughout many of the surahs in Juz Amma. And especially those surahs or those chapters which were revealed in Mecca, many of them are regarding Iman and Taqwa and Al-Imanu Bil-Yawm Al-Akhir. As for the Ahkam, then the majority of them came in the period of Al-Madina. And also there is a mention of the story of Musa alayhi salam and Fir'aun and how disobedient Fir'aun was. And also there is a comparison between the abode of those who disbelieve and reject the belief in the hereafter and those who believe in the hereafter and work for the hereafter. And also from the themes of this blessed surah is that ilmul ghaib, the knowledge of the unseen, is for Allah subhanahu alone. So these are the main themes that this surah covers. And Allah subhanahu begins this surah by taking a qasam. And a qasam is like an oath or when one swears by something. And Allah subhanahu begins this surah by taking a qasam by the angels, the great angels, and mentions some of the actions which the angels do and how quick they are to fulfill the commandments of Allah subhanahu. So he said, وَالنَّازِعَاتِ غَرْقًا. This first waw, it is waw al-qasam, meaning Allah subhanahu is saying, I take an oath and I swear by an-nazi'at. And an-nazi'at are those angels, تَنْزَعُ الْأَرْوَاحِ بِقُوَّةِ, those angels which take out the souls of the evil people بِالْقُوَّةِ, harshly, because they are people of evil. And Ibn Abbas rahimullah or radiyallahu an, he said وَالنَّازِعَاتِ غَرْقًا, that Allah says, by the one I swear by an-nazi'at, meaning those angels which have been made responsible for taking out the souls of the kuffar, of the disbelievers. Gharqa with يعني harshly, taking out painfully. And as for the people of Iman, وَالنَّاشِطَاتِ نَشْطَى. Allah says, and I swear by another group of angels, and they are النَّاشِطَات, those who pull out the souls of the believers with gentleness. So there are two groups of angels. There are النَّازِعَات and النَّاشِطَات. النَّازِعَات, they have been ordered to take out the souls of the disbelievers. However, it is done غَرْقَى, violently and harshly. And then there are النَّاشِطَات. And the نَاشِطَات are those angels who are quick to take the souls of the believers. And they take out the souls of the believers بِرِفْقِ, with gentleness. Gently they take out the souls of the believers. And Ibn Mas'ud and Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhum ajma'in, Ibn Kathir mentions that وَالنَّازِعَاتِ غَرْقَى الْمَلَائِكَ, they are the angels, تَنْزَعُ أَرْوَاحَ بَنِي آدَمَ, and they violently take out the souls of Bani Adam. Some of them, they take out the souls bi'unf, violently and harshly. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَأْخُذْ رُوحَهُ بِسُهُولَةٍ, and other angels, they take out the souls gently. And so, النازعات, those who take out the souls of the disbelievers violently. النَّاشِطَات, those angels who take out the souls of the believers gently. And then وَالسَّابِحَاتِ سَبْحَا, and Allah also swears by angels, again, other angels. And they are سَابِحَات, they are swimming, as if they're swimming or gliding, going up and down between the heavens and the earth. أي المترددات في الهواء سعودا ونزولا, mean those angels which frequent ascending and descending, going up and down, gliding through the air, as if they swimming. والسابحات سبحا, and فالسابقات سبقا, and also other angels, or another description of the angels, that they are as-sabiqat, meaning they race with each other and they compete with each other to fulfill the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as-sabiqat, it has a number of meanings. As-sabq means to race and compete, and Allah subhanahu takes an oath or a qasam by these angels as well. وَالسَّابِقَاتِ السَّبْقَى, those angels, I swear by those angels who race and compete. Who are they racing or competing with? Some of the mufassirun said that they are racing and competing with each other to fulfill the commandment of Allah subhanahu. Some of them said that they are racing against the shayateen, because the shayateen, as news comes from the heavens to the earth, some of the shayateen tried and the jinn tried to steal some of this information. And so the angels, they compete against them or race against them such that they are not able to take this news. And Mujahid and others amongst the Mufassirun, فَالسَّابِقَاتِ سَبْقَى, those who race with each other, أي الْمَلَائِكَ, meaning the angels, تَسْبِقُ ابْنَ آدَمَ, they compete with Ibn Adam, بِالْخَيْرِ وَالْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحِ, in doing righteous actions and acts of goodness. And some of the Mufassirun said that فَالسَّابِقَاتِ سَبْقَى, those who race each other and compete with each other, This does not refer to the angels. Rather, it relates to anfusul mu'minin, arwahul mu'minin, the souls of the believers. That it is the souls of the believers that compete with each other when leaving the body and going to the angels. And why are the souls of the believers racing and competing and quick to leave the soul? Shawqan ila liqa'illah. Out of pleasure and desire to meet Allah subhanahu. Because the believers know what has been promised to them. So when they know that the time has come, and they know that the promise of Allah and the mercy of Allah and the forgiveness of Allah, فَالسَّابِقَاتِ, they race and they are quick to leave the body and go to the angels, so the angels can ascend with the souls of the believers, ascend upwards towards Jannah. And this was mentioned by Ibn Mas'ud, شَوْقًا إِلَى لِقَاءِ اللَّهِ, desiring and yearning for the meeting with Allah, وَكِرَامَتِهِ, and His generosity. And then He subhanah takes another qasam, فَالْمُدَبِّرَاتِ أَمْرًا, and also I swear by those who arrange and fulfill each matter, meaning those angels which have been made responsible for various tasks and responsibilities. They are mudabbirat. They are those who have to arrange and organize those matters and fulfill those responsibilities. Like, for example, the sending of the rain and the sending of the wind, meaning Allah subhanahu has made angels responsible for various responsibilities in the dunya. So there are angels, or there is an angel who has been made responsible for the rain, and an angel who has been made responsible for writing and recording the deeds of the believers. And there are angels who have been made responsible with blowing the soul into the fetus. And there are angels who have been made responsible for taking the soul of the believers and the soul of the disbelievers. And angels who have been made responsible for grains and fruit growing. And also al-hafadha, angels who have been made responsible for protecting Bani Adam until the time comes for the soul to be taken. And there is an angel, Israfil, who has been tasked with the blowing of the trumpet. And of course, Jibreel, the greatest angel, who was tasked with revelation. So there are many different angels, and they have different tasks and different responsibilities. And they are al-mudabbirat. They are the ones who organize and take care of and fulfill these tasks and responsibilities. And so Allah subhanahu takes all these oaths or vows, this qasam, these various angels. An-nazi'at, I swear by those angels who violently extract the souls of the disbelievers. An-nashitat, and I swear by those angels who gently take out the soul of the believers. Was-sabihat, and I swear by those angels which glide up and down between the heavens and the earth. فَالسَّابِقَاتِ, and I swear by those angels who compete with each other to fulfill my commandments. فَالْمُدَبِّرَاتِ, and I swear by those angels who have been tasked with responsibilities to fulfill those responsibilities. And when there is a qasam in the Quran, when Allah subhanahu swears by something, it is to swear for something. Meaning, there is the qasam, which is the oath or the vow, and then there is jawabul qasam. Like, for example, when we take an oath, when we swear by something. For example, you say, I swear by Allah that I was being truthful. So what is the qasam that you're swearing by Allah? What is jawabul qasam? What are you swearing for or taking an oath for that you spoke the truth? So we know that Allah subhanahu takes all these oaths here by all these different types of angels. But what is jawabul qasam? What is he swearing for? So some of the mufassirun said that jawabul qasam is latub'athunna, that I swear by all these angels that you will be resurrected and you will be held to account and you will be questioned and you will have to answer for your actions. And some of them said that the jawabul qasam, it is what comes next. When Allah subhanahu says, يَوْمَ تَرْجُفُ الرَّاجِفَ, when he mentions يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ and how everything will shake on that day, that this is jawabul qasam. I swear by all of these angels which I have created, and they are great angels and many in number, a great creation, that day will occur. And then after this, Allah subhanahu mentions what it will be like on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And as I mentioned, Allah taking an oath and swearing by angels and giving them many different descriptions, an-nazi'at and an-nashitat and mudabbirat and sabihat and as-sabiqat and all these various descriptions, shows us the greatness of the angels, which shows us the greatness of the creator of the angels. And as for how many the angels are, nobody knows except Allah subhanahu. However, we know in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that there is a place parallel to the Kaaba, which is above the heavens or in the heavens. And this place is parallel to the Kaaba. So just as the believing Muslims amongst the humans have the Kaaba, the angels have a place called Al-Bayt Al-Ma'mur. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned Al-Bayt Al-Ma'mur and said that this place is where 70,000 angels come to worship Allah and to prostrate in front of Him. And 70,000 angels come on one day and then they go and they never return. And the next day, 70,000 more angels come to this place to worship Allah, and then they leave and they never return. And then 70,000 more angels come, and this is until Yawm al-Qiyamah. So imagine every single day, until Yawm al-Qiyamah, since Al-Bayt al-Ma'mur was created, groups of angels in 70,000 groups are coming to worship Allah, and they never return. And this shows us again the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not just the greatness of the angels. He said, يَوْمَ تَرْجُفُ الرَّاجِفَ, that I take an oath and I swear by all of these great angels and their descriptions which I have created, that on that day, تَرْجُفُ الرَّاجِفَ. That day, meaning when the trumpet is blown, there will be a rajifa. And a rajf, it is a shaking or like an earthquake or a convulsion. And that is that on Qiyam al-Sa'ah, when the hour is established, there will be a great zalzala, a great earthquake. And this earthquake will shake everything. And the mountains will be flattened. And the sea will dry. And everything will become plain and spread. And this rajifa, or this zalzala, this convulsion, or this shaking, or this earthquake, will lead to the death of everything. And after the first shaking, the first blowing of the trumpet, tatba'uha al-radifa, then there will be another one. And radifa means to come behind something. So there will be a rajifa, the blowing of the trumpet which shakes and causes an earthquake. And then there will be a radifa, the second blowing, which comes after the first blowing. And as we mentioned in the previous lesson, that between the blowing of the two trumpets is 40. 40 years, or 40 months, or 40 days. But that time will not be like this time. And so the first blowing, Ar-Rajifa, is when everything will die. And then the second blowing of the trumpet, Ar-Radifa, is when everything will arise once again. And this is Al-Ba'ath Ba'd Al-Mawt. This is the meaning of Al-Ba'ath, either sending or the resurrection after death. So Al-Mawt refers to the blowing of the first trumpet. Al-Ba'ath Ba'd Al-Mawt refers to the resurrection after the second trumpet. So Al-Mawt, this is linked to Ar-Rajifa, the first blowing. And Al-Ba'ath is linked to Ar-Radifa, the second blowing of the trumpet, when everything will be resurrected and rise up again. And on that day, when everybody is resurrected and given life again, what will be the state of the people? He said, قُلُوبٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ وَاجِفَةٌ, that hearts on that day will tremble. So wajifa ay khaifa, qalqala, muttariba, their hearts will fear and tremble and be scared. Male protectors. Why? Min shiddati ma tara wa tasma, due to how severe things will be on that day, and how worried everybody and everything will be. And as for the sight of the people, he said, أَبْصَارُهَا خَاشِعَ. And as for the eyes and the sight, خَاشِعَ, أي ذَلِيلَ حَقِيرَ, humbled, because of the severity of what they are seeing and witnessing. So the hearts are trembling and anxious, and the eyes are in humility, humble in front of Allah. And then after he subhanahu mentioned what will happen on Yawm al-Qiyamah, then there is an address for the Quraysh, those people who denied the resurrection. He said, يَقُولُونَ أَإِنَّا لَمَرْدُودُونَ فِي الْحَافِرَةِ. They, meaning the Kuffar and the Quraysh, when they hear of this revelation and when they hear of this information regarding Al-Ba'ath Ba'd Al-Mawt, how do they respond? يَقُولُونَ, they say, أَإِنَّا لَمَرْدُودُونَ فِي الْحَافِرَةِ. Will we really be taken back to our former states? Meaning, once we all die and our bodies are eroded and eaten up by the soil, and our bones and our muscle and our flesh is no more, will we really be resurrected in the original state of when we were born? And Al-Hafira, they say, Al-Hafira, رَجَعَ فُلَانٌ إِلَى حَافِرَتِهِ أَيْ رَجَعَ مِنْ حَيْثُ جَاءَ. لَمَرْدُودُنَا فِي الْحَافِرَةِ, that which will we return to Al-Hafira. And Al-Hafira, meaning from where we came from, meaning we originally came into this earth fashioned with bodies and a physical existence and eyes and flesh and muscles shaped in a particular way. So will we return to that state that we originally came came in. And why did they find this difficult to believe? They said, أَإِذَا كُنَّ عِظَامًا نَخِرًا, that how will we come and be resurrected to this original state when our bones are eroded and decayed? And then they said, mockingly, قَالُوا تِلْكَ إِذَنْ كَرَّةٌ خَاسِرَةٌ. Then they mocked and they said that if this ever happens, we will be in destruction and loss. So they refused to accept al-ba'th ba'd al-maut and the possibility of being resurrected, not knowing and appreciating the qudra of Allah subhanahu, the greatness of Allah and the ability of Allah subhanahu. And then after this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He responds to them and responds to their thinking and their logic. Because their logic is that once the earth has decayed our bones and our body, it's not possible for us to be resurrected in the original state. So now Allah subhanahu responds to this thinking, this thing that they have made impossible upon Allah. And He said, subhana, فَإِنَّمَا هِيَ زَجْرَةٌ وَاحِدَةٌ, that on that day, it will only be a single zajra. It will only be a single blast of the trumpet. And everybody will be resurrected. It's not difficult upon Allah, subhana. Like in the other in Surah Al-Qamar, He said, وَمَا أَمْرُنَا إِلَّا وَاحِدَةٌ, that our command is only a single command, كَلَّمْحِ الْبَصَرِ, and then that command is fulfilled like the blinking of the eye or the gazing of the eye. Meaning, when Allah subhanahu commands and orders for something, He doesn't need to do it twice, He doesn't need to repeat it, He does not need to emphasize it, rather a single command, kun, a single word, and it is, without any delay. And then when Allah gives that command, and it is only zajratun wahida, that command and then that blast, that the blowing of the horn, then فَإِذَا هُمْ بِالسَّاهِرَةِ, then everybody will suddenly be alert upon the earth. فَإِذَا هُمْ بِالسَّاهِرَةِ, and then all of them will be in a sahira. And the word as-sahira has different meanings. So as-sahar is to wake up. And they also said as-sahira ay ala wajh al-ard, that the meaning of they will be upon as-sahira, meaning they will be upon the face of the earth. Fakanu bi asfaliha, because when everything died and those people who were buried, they were buried on the earth or in the earth. فَأُخْرِجُوا إِلَىٰ أَعْلَاهَا, and now they have been resurrected and they have been thrown out by the earth and thrown out from their graves. And so now they are upon the earth. قِيَامٌ يَنْظُرُونَ, and all of them will be standing, all of creation will be standing and looking. And this is known as Al-Hashr, when Allah will gather everybody. And everybody will be gathered on Al-Mahshar. And Al-Mahshar is the land where everybody will be gathered. And this is why some of the Mufassirun, they said, فَإِذَا هُمْ بِالسَّاهِرَةِ, that all of them will be at السَّاهِرَةِ. Some of them said, أَرْضُ الشَّامِ, that all of them will be resurrected and gathered in الشَّام. And Asham, of course, is that area of Syria and Palestine and Lebanon and Urdun. All of that is known as Asham. And there are some narrations which mention that Al-Mahshar will be in Asham, that the resurrection of everybody and the gathering of everybody, it will be in Asham. And this is how Sufyan al-Thawri, Ibn Kathir, mentions. He interpreted this ayah, فَإِذَا هُمْ بِالسَّاهِرَةِ, that suddenly all of them will find themselves situated and located in As-Sahira, meaning Ard al-Sham, because that is Al-Mahshar. But will As-Sham at that time be the same Sham it is right now? No. In fact, the earth will be different, because number one, everything will be plain, and there will be no more mountains, and no more seas, no more oceans, and everything will be flattened. And so it will be the same earth, but not the earth which we know, meaning it's the same, physically it's the same earth, but the description and the mountains and the seas, everything will have changed. Like he said, Subhana, يَوْمَ تُبَدَّلُ الْأَرْضِ غَيْرَ الْأَرْضِ, that on that day, the earth will be changed. As-Sa'di said, هَذَا التَّبْدِيلُ تَبْدِيلُ الصِّفَاتِ لَا تَبْدِيلُ ذَاتِ, that this changing is a changing in description, not changing of the earth itself, meaning this does not mean that Allah will destroy this planet, the earth, and then bring another planet, earth. No. It will be the same earth, but tabdilu sifat, but the reality and the description and how what we see around us will be totally different. But as like some of the narrations mention, that the mahshar, the gathering place, will be in Ash-Sham. And of course, all of this, the Quraysh denied. And all of this they resurrected. And now there's another theme in the surah. However, this theme, it is connected to the Quraysh. So the next theme which Allah mentions now is the story of Musa alayhi salam, Nabiullah, Kalimullah, Musa ibn Umran, and the Pharaoh, the Fir'aun at that time. And even though a person might think, but what's the connection between the story of Musa and Fir'aun to Yawm al-Qiyamah and the Quraysh and Allah swearing by the angels? What's the connection? And the connection will become clear at the end of these ayat. So Allah subhanahu said, هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ مُوسَى, has the story of Musa come to you? Meaning, Allah is addressing Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When he hears the mockery and the rejection of the Quraysh regarding al-ba'ath ba'd al-maut wa qiyam as-sa'ah, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam heard this, then Allah addresses the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, hal ataka ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam hadith Musa, has the story of Musa come to you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam? And this question means, yes, of course the story has come to you. What happened in that story? إِذْ نَادَاهُ رَبُّهُ, when his Lord called out to him, meaning when Allah called out to Musa, where بِالْوَادِ الْمُقَدَّسِ طُوَى, in the sacred valley, طُوَى. And this word طُوَى, or this name, the Mufassirun differed. That either this is the name of the valley where Allah spoke to Musa alayhi salam. It is Al-Wadi al-Muqaddas. It is the sacred valley. Sacred because Allah spoke to Musa in this place. And it is called Tuwa. And it is somewhere يعني, between Al-Madinah and Misr. Or the meaning of Tuwa is Muqaddas. Sacred. So it's as if Allah is saying, إِذْ نَادَاهُ رَبُّهُ بِالْوَادِ الْمُقَدِّسِ مُقَدَّسِ طُوَى, when his Lord called out to him in the sacred valley, sacred. So he repeats the same meaning, يعني مُقَدَّس بَعْدَ مُقَدَّس مَرَّةً بَعْدَ مَرَّةً, sacred and again sacred. A sacred valley which was made more sacred when Allah spoke to Musa alayhi salam. And when Allah subhanahu spoke to Musa alayhi salam and he called him in this valley, what did he command him with? He said, اذهب إلى فرعون إنه طغى, that go to Fir'aun, approach Fir'aun. Why? إِنَّهُ طَغَى. Because he is corrupt and he is oppressing and he is disbelieving and he is exceeding the limits. And Fir'aun, this word Fir'aun, it is not the name of a particular king or a ruler. Fir'aun was not his name. Rather, Fir'aun is the title which is given to Muluku Misr. Every ruler of Egypt which came before Musa alayhi salam, they were known as Fir'aun. And then they had a real name. So it was a title. And that's why there is a plural of Fir'aun, Fara'ina. Meaning the kings and the rulers and the emperors of Misr before Musa alayhi salam. And there were many, many Fara'ina, many Fir'auns. Just as An-Najashi was not the name of the king of Abyssinia. Rather, An-Najashi, a Malik al-Habsh, is the ruler of Abyssinia. And there were many Najashiyun, many Najashis who came. And then they had their own names. And same with Qaisar and Harqal. These weren't names, individual names, rather they were titles. The emperor of Rome and the leader of the Persians. And like I said, An-Najashi, the rulers of Abyssinia. So Fir'aun, the singular of Al-Fara'ina, it was a particular ruler at that time and he was known as Fir'aun. Otherwise he had his own name. And so Allah subhanahu orders Musa alayhi salam to go to the Fir'aun of that time. Why? Because he is oppressing and he's refusing to worship Allah and he's becoming arrogant. And so warn him against this. فَقُلْ هَلْ لَكَ إِلَىٰ أَن تَزَكَّىٰ. And say to him, are you not willing to purify yourself and your actions and your soul? And so Allah subhanahu ordered the Prophet ordered Musa alayhi salam to appeal to Fir'aun and to give him a wa'ad, an admonishment and a reminder. اَيْقُلْ لَهُ قَوْلٌ لَيِّنٌ. Say to him a gentle word. Say to him a soft word. Admonish him. Remind him regarding Allah. خِطَابٌ لَطِيفٌ. A very gentle address. And subhanallah, if this was Allah ordering the greatest prophet at that time, Musa alayhi salam, to go to the worst tyrant of that time, Fir'aun, then surely the people today are more deserving and more in need of our gentleness. So if Allah ordered Musa alayhi salam to say to Fir'aun a gentle word and a soft word, and to address him appropriately, then more so in this time, that our da'wah has to be based upon gentleness. Because Fir'aun was akfar al-nas. Fir'aun was the most disbelieving of people. The kuffar today are nothing compared to Fir'aun. Because Fir'aun, he not only rejected the belief in Allah, but then he called himself Rabbukum al-A'la. He called himself the Lord. And the greatest Lord and the greatest deity and the greatest creator. And nobody does this today. Nobody is as disbelieving as Fir'aun was. And yet despite this severe kufr and disbelief and this jur'ah, this audacity which he had against Allah, Allah still ordered Musa and Harun alayhim as-salam to go to him with qawlun layyin, with a gentle word. And what was that gentle word? Antazakka, purify yourself. And your actions, and your intention, and your aqeedah. And this will lead you to a life of purity. And this shows us that corruption and disbelief is a najas, it is impure. Like Allah said, إِنَّمَا الْمُشْرِكُونَ najas. That very the people of shirk are najas, it is impurity and filth. And as for iman, and tawheed, and ikhlas, إِلَىٰ أَن تَزَكَّىٰ. This is where there is purity and goodness. He said, وَأَهْدِيَكَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَتَخْشَىٰ. And O Fir'aun, let me guide you and take you to the way of your Lord. فَتَخْشَىٰ. So you may be humble in front of him and submissive in front of him. And this ayah shows us that in the obedience of Allah and in Tawheed, there is khashya. It is submission in front of Allah and humility in front of Allah. And our hearts will only feel khashya wal khushu', humility, through at-tawheed. And Allah aided Musa alayhi salam with ayat, with signs and miracles. فَأَرَاهُ الْآيَةَ الْكُبْرَىٰ. And so Musa showed Fir'aun the greatest sign. Those ayat and those mu'jizat, like the throwing of the saf, the stick, and the other ayat and the mu'jizat which Musa alayhi salam was given. But what was the response and the reaction of Fir'aun? فَكَذَّبَ وَعَصَىٰ. Despite Musa alayhi salam going to him with a gentle word and a good admonition and hikmah, and despite Musa alayhi salam showing him the miracles and the ayat, still فَكَذَّبَ وَعَصَىٰ. أي فَكَذَّبَ بِالْحَقِّ وَعَصَى الْأَمْرِ. That Fir'aun, he rejected the truth and he was disobedient to the command of Allah. And then ثُمَّ أَدْبَرَ يَسْعَى. And not only this, then he turned his back. وَيَسْعَى. And he began to strive and plot against the believers of Bani Israel to cause corruption upon the earth. فَحَشَرَ فَنَادَى. And Fir'aun called all his followers, his army and his people. He gathered them. Al-Hashar is gathering. فَنَادَى. And then he called out to them. And what did he say to them? فَقَالَ أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى. He said, don't listen to Musa. Don't look at his signs. I am رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى. I am your greatest Lord. I am your greatest God. I am the one who has complete divinity. And he said this استِكْبَارًا وَجُحُودًا. Not because he believed he is Allah or he rejected Allah. Rather, it was pure arrogance. It was only stubborn arrogance. So inside them, they knew that what Musa alayhi salam was calling with is the truth. However, istikbar, wal juhud, wal inad, stubborn, arrogance, haughtiness, pride. This is what led him to say these. And so Allah punished him. فَأَخَذَهُ اللَّهُ نَكَالَ الْآخِرَةِ وَالْأُولَىٰ. And so Allah seized him with the punishment. نَكَالَ الْآخِرَةِ وَالْأُولَىٰ. As an example of the first and the last. And نَكَالَ الْآخِرَةِ وَالْأُولَىٰ, the first and the last, or the last and the first, the Mufassirun differed. What's the meaning of the last and the first? So some of the Mufassirun said that the last and the first, meaning Allah will punish him in the hereafter, and that is al-akhirah, that is nakal al-akhirah, the punishment of the hereafter. Wal-ula, and the first punishment which Allah gave him in the dunya, and this was by drowning him. This is the meaning of nakal al-akhirah wal-ula. The punishment of the akhirah will follow the punishment of the dunya, which was the drowning. And some of them said that the meaning of نَكَالِ الْآخِرَةِ وَالْأُولَىٰ, نَكَالَ الْآخِرَةِ وَالْأُولَىٰ, is that Allah has made him an example for his story to be mentioned and remembered by the early generations and the latter generations. And some of the Mufassirun mentioned that the meaning of being punished for the last and the first, meaning his first sin, which was claiming أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَىٰ, and his last sin for causing corruption and oppressing people. And then is an answer to that question which I mentioned that a person might say, but what is the link between the story of Musa and Fir'aun and everything Allah mentioned before regarding Qiyam al-Sa'ah and the rejection of the Quraysh? What's the link? And the link is, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, remember this, that just as these Quraysh today are rejecting al-Ba'ath ba'd al-Mawt, the resurrection after death, even though you have showed them the ayat, similarly, Fir'aun rejected the message of Musa alayhi salam, even though he had also showed them the ayat. And just as we punished and we seized Fir'aun with the severe punishment, then like this, those people who are rejecting your message and they die upon this kufr, we will also seize them. And they will also have the severe punishment. So this is the link between everything which is mentioned in the first half of Surah An-Nazi'at and then the story of Musa and Fir'aun. Because Allah subhanahu reminds the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam with this story when he is faced with the rejection of the Quraysh. هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ مُوسَى. Remember the story of Musa when he went to Fir'aun. And when Fir'aun rejected the ayat, we seized him with a punishment. And also today, those people who reject your message of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the ayat which you have been given, they will also be seized with a terrible punishment. He said, "Inna fi dhalika la ibra liman yakhsha." So this story of Musa and Fir'aun, it contains a lesson, and an admonishment, a reminder and a warning for those people who fear Allah. So these ayat and the ayat of the Quran, the stories of the prophets and the messengers, and the stories of the previous nations, al-umam, and how Allah punished them, these are signs, these are ibrah, signs for those who fear Allah. And this is how we should be with the Quran. So our reading of the Quran should not be, like they say, al-qira'a barida, like a cold reading, meaning you do not interact with the Quran. Rather, your recitation of the Quran has to be accompanied with a tadabbur, contemplating over the ayat. So whenever Allah mentions His mercy, you should stop and ask Allah for His mercy. And whenever Allah mentions His punishment, you should seek refuge in Allah from His punishment. And whenever Allah mentions in the Quran the reward for the righteous, you should make a dua, "Oh Allah, make me from these righteous." And whenever Allah subhanahu mentions stories of the previous umam and the nations who were punished, you should seek refuge with Allah. And this is even in as-salah, even in as-salah, in the nafl salah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, "Ma marrat bihi ayatu rahma illa sa'ala Allah iyyah." That whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would recite an ayah which contains the mercy of Allah, he would ask Allah for His mercy. And whenever an ayah of adab would pass by him or he recited, he would seek refuge in Allah, with Allah, from the punishment. And then Allah subhanahu goes back and replies to the logic of the Quraysh. Remember, the Quraysh said that, "Will we be resurrected and we will go back, لَمَرْدُودُونَ فِي الْحَافِرَةِ, we will go back to our original state after our bones have been decayed." So now Allah subhanahu, He answers this logic. He said, أَأَنْتُمْ أَشَدُّ خَلْقًا أَمِسْ سَمَاءُ بَنَاهَا. Are you as humans more difficult and greater in creation than the heavens and the skies which Allah has built? What's more difficult? This weak, feeble human, which is harmed by the smallest prick, cries by the smallest amount of pain, cannot carry anything, bleeds quickly, gets sick very quickly. This feeble, weak human, Is he more difficult to create or as-sama, the heavens and the skies which are above us, and everything which they hold, the stars and the sun and the moon, and all those galaxies which are out there, and then the heavens and the angels and everything which they contain? What is more difficult upon Allah, even though everything is easy upon Allah? But the creation of all of that is more greater than the creation of this weak insan. So, أَأَنْتُمْ أَيُّهَا الْبَشَرِ, are you, O human beings, أَشَدُّ خَلْقًا, greater in creation, أَمِ السَّمَاءِ, or the heavens and the skies, بَنَاهَا, which Allah made and Allah constructed. بَلْ السَّمَاءَ أَشَدُّ خَلْقًا مِنَّا. In fact, it is the skies and the heavens which are greater construction than us. Allah subhanahu said, لَخَلْقُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ أَكْبَرُ مِنْ خَلْقِ النَّاسِ, in Surah Ghafir. He said, the creation of the heavens and the earth is greater than the creation of the human. And what's the logic, or what's the understanding? Like Allah subhanahu mentioned Surah Yasin, أَوَلَيْسَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ بِقَادِرٍ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَخْلُقَ مِثْلَهُمْ, that is not the one who created the heavens and the earth able easily to create it once again? The one who created the earth in the first place and then finished it, he's the same one who will resurrect it and give it life again. The one who created the humans in the first place perfectly, physically, is the same one who will resurrect them. رَفَعَ سَمْكَهَا فَسَوَّاهَا, he said, it is Allah who raised this ceiling, raised this sky and the heavens. فَسَوَّاهَا, and he is the one who created it بِإِحْكَامٍ وَإِتْقَانٍ, precisely, perfectly, in complete order. Nobody is able to fathom and think about the greatness of the creation of Allah. The sky and the heavens, we don't know the reality of how great it is and how perfect Allah has created it. Yet Allah did create it. وَأَغْطَشَ لَيْلَهَا وَأَخْرَجَ دُحَاهَا, and it is Allah who darkens its night, and it is Allah who brings the brightness once again. وَأَغْطَشَ لَيْلَهَا, meaning Allah created the night, and He's the one who then ordained and decreed for it to be completely dark. And then that same darkness, He is the one who decrees once again that وَأَغْطَشَ دُحَاهَا, that وَأَخْرَجَ دُحَاهَا, that light appears once again. And again, even in the night and the day is an argument proving the resurrection. Just as there is complete light and then Allah brings darkness, everything is moving and then Allah brings darkness and everything is still. Everything hides, everything goes to sleep. What happens next? Just as He brought day in the first place, He brings brightness once again after that darkness. Then everything wakes up and everything moves. Like this, Yawm al-Qiyamah. There is movement and then there is finishing. And just as Allah brought the movement in the first place, another blowing of the trumpet and there is movement again. And there is resurrection once again. And this is also how the believers should be with the Quran. That whenever Allah mentions creation which we see, we should think about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And think, what is Allah telling us? When He says that verily there is a sign in the changing of the night and the day. Which sign? A sign for what? There is a sign for the greatness of Allah. There is a sign for the ability of Allah. And there is a proof for resurrection. Just as life and death changes, and movement and stillness changes, and day and night changes, also Yawm al-Qiyamah there will be change. And the one who decrees the changing of the day and the night, the same one will decree the changing of the resurrection and death. وَالْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ ذَٰلِكَ دَحَاهَا, and also He is the one who spread the earth. أَخْرَجَ مِنْهَا مَاءَهَا وَمَرْعَاهَا, and He is the one who brings from it water. are the fountains and the rivers and the springs. Who created them? Allah subhanahu created them. And what is the function of this water? That land which is dead and barren and dry, this water comes and gives it life. It is resurrected. And this is an ayah, this is a sign. That just as Allah gives life to the land which is barren through water, like this, Allah will give life to all of creation after it has died. And He is the one, وَالْجِبَالَ أَرْسَاهَا. He is the one who placed the mountains firm. They don't move. They stay where they are. Why? All of this, why? مَتَاعٍ لَكُمْ وَلِأَنْعَامِكُمْ. That everything which Allah has created is for your provisions, O humans, and for your cattle. The water is there for you humans to use, and for your cattle to drink, your animals to drink, and for you to grow your crops. Meaning, Allah subhanahu, He created the sky and the earth, and the night and the day, and water, and mountains. And all of this He created in order for our rizq to be guaranteed. Our rizq is guaranteed upon this earth. But what we as humans have to be careful is that we don't allow these blessings which Allah has given us to make us forget and neglect the akhirah. So these provisions are there for us to enjoy and live in order to live for the akhirah. Not that we forget the akhirah and we concentrate on the blessings. The blessings Allah guaranteed for us. We don't have to do anything, it's already there. We don't have to invent water. We don't need to invent air. We don't need to invent carrots and cucumbers and fruit and vegetables. No, Allah took care of all of this. But shaitan makes us forget the akhirah through these blessings and these luxuries. And so, once again, after mentioning all of these blessings, Allah again reminds us about the day of resurrection. He said, فَإِذَا جَاءَتِ الطَّامَّةُ الْكُبْرَى. On that day, when the great calamity will come, it is a tamma. It will be an affliction, a calamity. Everybody will be worried. Everybody will be anxious. The hearts will be trembling. So notice, after mentioning all of these blessings and all of these luxuries which Allah has given us for us to enjoy, for us to use, for us to utilize, He reminds us about the akhirah again. That these luxuries which Allah has given us and guaranteed for us for our rizq, we should not allow them to direct us away from the akhirah. يَوْمَ يَتَذَكَّرُ الْإِنسَانُ مَا سَعَى. Because on that day, every person will remember what he strived for. The goodness which a person did, and the evil that a person did, everything and everybody will remember. And when people remember, then they'll be divided into two groups. Ahl al-shaqawa and ahl al-sa'ada. Those who are wretched and those who are happy. And so in the next few ayat, Allah subhanahu speaks about ahl al-shaqawa, those people who are wretched. He said, وَبُرِّزَتِ الْجَحِيمُ لِمَنْ يَرَى. That on that day, Al-Jahim, and this is one of the names of the fire, Jahannam or Al-Jahim, it will be made clear for its people to see. Those people who are deserving of entering into the fire, they will clearly see the fire. فَأَمَّا مَنْ طَغَى. And so, the one who oppressed and transgressed and disobeyed Allah, وَآثَرَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. And he gave preference to this life over the life of the hereafter. The point is that this life and this dunya which Allah has given us and everything which He has guaranteed for us, He has guaranteed it for us in order for us to focus on the akhirah. Not that we should allow those things to distract us from the akhirah. So there are some people who prefer this life over the akhirah. Those people, what is their ending and what is their abode? He said, فَإِنَّ الْجَحِيمَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. Those people who are distracted by this dunya and they sacrifice the akhirah for this dunya, the Jahim, i.e. Jahannam, the fire, na'udhu billah, may Allah protect us, this will be their abode. There are people upon this dunya who are willing to sacrifice their house in the akhirah for the house in the dunya. Allah subhanahu tells us that those who partake in interest and riba, they are at war with Allah subhanahu and His messenger. And so the person who takes and uses and consumes riba, he's sacrificing his akhirah for the dunya. He is the one who athar al-hayat al-dunya. He is the one who has sacrificed his akhirah for the dunya. That person, فَإِنَّ الْجَحِيمَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. Then the fire will be his abode. And then there is Ahlul Sa'ada, the people of pleasure and reward and delight and eternal happiness. May Allah make us from those people. He said, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ. As for the one who remembers the standing in front of Allah and fears the standing in front of Allah. وَنَهَا النَّفْسِ عَنِ الْهَوَى. And the one who controls his desires from following desire. He controls himself from following the desires. This ayah shows us that humans, as humans, we have desires. Desires of women, desires of gold, of silver, of money, of houses. Who amongst us does not desire that house and that relationship and that woman and that money? But the disbelievers, they allow themselves to follow their desires. And the believers, naha nafs anil hawa, they control themselves so they don't follow those desires. Otherwise, each one of them has desires because we are all humans. The kafir is a human and the mu'min is a human. And therefore, having the desire in your heart, this isn't where the problem is. The problem is acting upon the desires. But those people who remember the standing in front of Allah and they fear the standing in front of Allah and they control their actions and they control their statements, what is their ending? فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. Therefore, those people, it is Jannah, paradise, which will be their final abode. And then finally, the last few ayat, Allah subhanahu speaks about the knowledge of the hour. Does anybody know when Yawm al-Qiyamah will be? Does even Angel Jibreel know when Yawm al-Qiyamah will be? Does even Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam know when Yawm al-Qiyamah will be? Or is it from Ilm al-Ghayb, which only Allah knows? He said, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ السَّاعَةِ أَيَّانَ مُرْسَاهَا. That they ask you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, about the sa'ah, about the coming of the hour. أَيَّانَ مُرْسَاهَا. When will it occur? He said, فِيمَ أَنْتَ مِنْ ذِكْرَاهَا. That in what position are you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to inform the people about the coming of the hour? You don't know. Nobody knows. Only Allah knows. And also, what is the benefit in them asking you about when the hour will be? What's the benefit? There is a reason and a wisdom why Allah kept the time of the hour hidden. So we strive for its coming. He gave us certain signs and indicators, and He told us it is close, so we prepare for it. But imagine if Allah had revealed exactly when the hour would be. What would people do? Nobody would obey Allah. And when that day would come, then they would say, La ilaha illallah, now we believe. So Allah subhanahu kept the hour hidden. So nobody knows. But we have to work for it. Work for it, expecting it to come. The same with Laylatul Qadr. The ulama mentioned that Laylatul Qadr could be any of the last 10 nights, or perhaps the last odd nights from the 10 nights. Because imagine if it had been mentioned for definite when Laylatul Qadr is. Everybody would be lazy for the other 29 days of Ramadan, and then that one night which it is mentioned, everybody would begin to worship Allah. And so Allah kept Laylatul Qadr ambiguous. So in the last 10 nights, every night we try our best and we work for Laylatul Qadr. Perhaps our actions coincide with Laylatul Qadr. Like this, the knowledge of the hour and when it will be established. Nobody knows, but we have signs and we have information, so that we prepare for it and we work for it. He said, إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ مُنْتَهَاهَا, that its ending or its coming, it is with your Lord. Meaning, the knowledge of when the hour will be, this ends with Allah. And nobody knows it. إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُنْذِرْ. As for you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you are only a mundir, i.e. a warner. مَنْ يَخْشَاهَا. And those who fear Allah and they prepare for the coming of As-Sa'ah, they are the ones who will benefit from your warning. And then Allah subhanahu speaks about how short this life is. He said, كَأَنَّهُمْ يَوْمَ يَرَوْنَهَا لَمْ يَلْبَثُ إِلَّا عَشِيَّةً أَوْ ضُحَاهَا. That on that day, when the hour is established, and when the people are resurrected, it will be as if they did not remain upon this earth إِلَّا عَشِيَّةً, except like a single afternoon. أَوْ ضُحَاهَا, or just a morning. Meaning when everybody is resurrected on يوم القيامة, and in front of them is now eternity, forever and ever, without any ending. Then each person will look back at the dunya, the 50, the 60, the 70, 80 years that people remained upon the dunya. That dunya which we think will remain forever. That dunya we never think will end. That dunya we earn and we work for and we strive so much. And when people compare the eternity of the akhirah to the 60, 70, 80 years of the dunya, they will think that was only like a morning. That was only like an afternoon. And subhanAllah, the more a person grows in age, the more a person realizes. When a person approaches 40 or 50 or 60 and they look back to their life, they think, subhanAllah, it was only like a few days that I have lived. And on Yawm al-Qiyamah, this will be even more apparent. Why? Because in front of each person will be al-khuld, eternity, no ending. And therefore, the dunya will be just like an afternoon, or just like a morning. And therefore, the lessons and the main lesson that we take from this blessed surah is that we have to prepare for that day. The day that Allah took a qasam that it will occur by all those different angels, that this day will occur. And on that day, every person will remember about the action that they did. And so, as Muslims, we have to meet Allah hoping that our good deeds are more than our sins. And then we die upon At-Tawheed. So if a person dies upon At-Tawheed, and then the hisab of good deeds are better than sins, then the mercy of Allah is hoped. As for a person living and dying upon a shirk, or sins outweighing the good deeds, this is where the punishment of Allah is expected. So we seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from an evil death. We ask Allah subhanahu to make us from the people of At-Taqwa and to forgive our sins and to reward us with Jannah. هذا والله أعلم صلى الله على نبينا وسلم وجزاكم الله خيرًا.